You're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM.
That was The Truth About Dogs and Cats by Pony Up.
So you've tuned in for an episode this week that's focused on accessibility and transportation. We're going to be covering a series of topics, but we're going to start things off on the news story that's been going around the last few weeks about the changes to the subsidized bus pass program in BC. I interviewed earlier this morning NDP MLA Michelle Mungall, who is also the opposition spokesperson for social development, and she joined me via telephone to talk about why this issue is so important, what's happening, what needs to change, and just why the accessibility of transportation for people with disabilities is a hot topic right now in the legislature. I'm going to start that interview with her right now so you can listen to that. We hope you enjoy.
My name is Michelle Mungall. I'm the MLA for Nelson Creston and the NDP opposition spokesperson for social development.
Can you start by explaining for our listeners what policy changes are occurring to the disability payments and subsidized bus program since the 2016 budget has been released?
Sure. First, let me apologize to your listeners for my cold, sickly sounding voice. That's quite accurate. I have caught quite a terrible cold, but I'm always happy to be able to share what's going on in the legislature with people. So what we saw in Budget 2016 was the Liberal government and Christy Clark giving with one hand and taking away with the other. I remember being in the legislature, listening to the budget speech and the commitment to raise disability rates by $77, and I thought, thank goodness, it is about time. A raise to the rates is so long overdue. It hasn't happened in 9 years. And even at $77 increase, people with disabilities are still living below the poverty line, hundreds of dollars below the poverty line per month. But then I was shocked, because just moments after that announcement, the Minister of Finance went on to talk about a new fee for bus passes. Now, he talked about it like it had always been there. There had always been this $52 a month fee for bus passes, and that isn't true. There never had been that fee. What it was $45 a year in administration costs that people with disabilities would pay to get their annual bus pass. So what the government did, in a really roundabout way, was increase bus pass costs for people with disabilities by $624, thus clawing back the vast majority of the increase that they would see to their disability rates. Now, not everybody gets a bus pass. Some people have the alternative transportation subsidy. Well, this is going to get clawed back as well. I know for a lot of my constituents in rural areas, they would get that subsidy to pay for upfront. They would pay for their car insurance, they would pay for gas, or they would pay for other transportation methods. Well, now what's going to happen is if you have that form of transportation, the government's going to take $66 off of your check every month. So you'll be left with $11 of the increase. Now, if you choose not to have either forms of these transportation supports, you get the full $77 increase. So what that means is that people with disabilities are being forced to choose between getting their bus pass, getting the transportation supports that they need, or staying home. It's not a choice, right? So what for people living in poverty, they're looking at possibly getting food with that $77. Many people with disabilities have very specialized diets, and the current rates do not allow them to meet the cost of those specialized diets. And let's be real, food banks do great work, soup kitchens do great work, but we all know that they are never able to meet demand, and they will be the first ones to say that. So Well, we have a situation where people are being put in a position to choose to stay homebound so they can get the food that they need. And that's the kind of choice that this government has put on them.
Do you think that there are motivating factors behind this government's decision to make these changes that you think have not been disclosed?
Well, what we have is rates haven't been increased for 9 years. And heading into the next election, the Liberals need to look like they're actually doing something about poverty in this province. But they don't really want to do anything. And if they did, we'd have a poverty reduction plan. We're the only province without one. So on one hand, they give this rate increase to make it look like they're doing something. But because they don't really want to be doing something, they use all kinds of rhetoric and all kinds of spin to suggest that this rate increase is about choice for people with disabilities to choose whatever transportation option they want, and then they take it away. So this is purely giving with one hand and taking with the other in an effort to make it look like they're doing something good, but they're not.
We have seen large rallies, predominantly last Wednesday, and I know they've continued across BC, specifically at the legislature in Victoria and several different locations across Greater Vancouver. So this is a really large public outcry over these changes, and you and your party have expressed major concerns. How has your opposition to the bus pass clawback been received by both the public and then by the BC Liberals?
Well, first, what's clear is that the public is very supportive of providing people with disabilities low-cost to no-cost bus passes. We believe our society has come to a place where we understand the importance of inclusion and removing barriers that create exclusion. The bus pass program has been fundamentally important to inclusion in community for people with disabilities. Fundamentally important. It is what gives them the freedom and the independence to get where they need to go. So, no surprise, people around this province are shocked and appalled that Christy Clark would go after their bus passes in order to balance the budget. Heck, she could have still balanced the budget by giving people their bus passes, by letting people keep their low cost. She could have made it free and still balanced the budget. So there's absolutely no excuse for what she's doing, and everybody sees that. And as the Liberals try to spin it and spin it and spin it and dig their heels in and refuse to give the bus pass back, people are just getting angrier and angrier. And our job as New Democrats, we believe, it just like the public, that inclusion is important, that we need to be removing barriers to inclusion. We believe in a free or low-cost bus pass, and we are fighting that every single day. Unfortunately, the Liberals' response to that has been to heckle, to sneer, to call names, and to brush and dismiss this off as something that the NDP is just contrived for political gain, and it really shows that they're not interested in listening to what people around this province are trying to tell them.
We've also heard about a petition that you submitted to the minister. Could you say more about that? I think that was just within the past few days.
Yeah, so Inclusion BC, one of the province's largest organizations for people with disabilities, many people with disabilities are very active members of Inclusion BC. They started a petition, raise the rates, leave our bus pass alone, and within a matter of weeks, 15,000 people signed that petition, and it was my honor to present it on their behalf into the legislature.
What steps do you think need to be taken moving forward? And what would you do to rectify this situation?
Well, I'm doing everything I can. I'm using every legislative tool that I have here in this building, in this legislature. But the public needs to continue speaking out. They need to sign that petition. They need to write letters to the editor, write letters up to their local newspapers, show that, inform and show the general public what's going on and why changes need to be made. At the end of the day, it's the public who are the politician's bosses. So the public needs to be increasing their outcry, and we have a duty as people who are advocates to inform them and to engage them and ask them to join our call on the government to give people their bus passes back. So, petition, letters to the editor. I would suggest letters to Minister Stilwell and Premier Christy Clark. I fear that they have drafted some form letters to respond to such letters directly to them, and I fear that they are ignoring those letters. So letters to the editor, make sure that they're reading it in their local papers. Another thing that your listeners can do is connect with me. Tell me your story. If you would like help in sharing your story with the Minister of Social Development, Michelle Stilwell, give me a call. I'm here to listen, and I'm able to bring stories right to the floor of the legislature where she can't ignore them. And my number is 1-877-388-4498. It's a 1-800 number. It's toll-free. And people can also email me at michelle.mungall@leg.bc.ca.
And I'm just going to touch on one issue that I think not everybody understands. It's the difference between equality and equity. So there's a lot of people whose counter-argument to this discussion is that everyone is gaining from these changes, and therefore they are a positive difference. That is based in the idea of equality, but we on our show talk about issues of equity, which addresses that not everyone should receive the exact amount of support, but that the support given needs to take into consideration each individual's needs and supports that will benefit them. Could you tell us what you would say to those people whose counter-argument is that everyone is gaining from these changes?
Well, they're just misinformed, unfortunately, and I know why they're misinformed is because the Minister of Social Development keeps saying that herself, and she actually misuses the word equity in describing what's going on. Equity is about recognizing where people are at in life and recognizing what they need to get to a point of being equal with others. And so for somebody who needs a bus pass to get around in their city or in their community, they need that bus pass. Now, somebody who has a car doesn't need a bus pass. They need another form of transportation subsidy. Somebody who walks everywhere doesn't need a transportation subsidy. We don't even know what's going on with the 35,000 people with disabilities who receive supports from the government, why they are not accessing any of the transportation subsidies. Is it because they don't even know that those subsidies exist? Is it because they don't need those subsidies? Is it because that no matter what is going on in their region, they're not going to be able to get around? In rural, remote areas, that's often the case. So then what do we need to address for their needs in rural, remote areas so that they can get the transportation they need? The government took the easy way out in trying to address those issues by just saying that everybody's going to get the same amount and then taking it away from the majority of people who need transportation and used to have fair access to it, equitable access to it.
Why do you think we should all care about this issue? So for people with disabilities and for people without disabilities, for people who rely on transit and for people who don't rely on transit, why is this an issue that all British Columbians should be up to date with and should care about?
There's a fundamental value at the core of this issue, and that's, do people with disabilities deserve and have the right to be included in our communities? And the answer to that is unequivocally yes. And if that is the case, then we need to remove barriers that they experience in accessing their communities. And when we remove an affordable bus pass, we are increasing barriers to people who already experience so many barriers. We are all better off in our community when people with disabilities are included. And if you're just going to be callous and crass, it saves taxpayers dollars. A free bus pass or a low-cost bus pass allows for greater health and well-being because somebody is able to participate in their community. It allows them to get to the doctor's appointment early on enough, say if they have a cold like myself, before it turns into pneumonia if they need to get to the doctor, right? Pneumonia is more expensive to the healthcare system. So if we can reduce costs by preventing illness, then we are saving all taxpayers money. So let's just give people a bus pass, save the public some money, and we all benefit by having amazing people being included in our communities.
It seems so obvious, probably to the members of our collective and people at the radio station, because we already address issues of accessibility and breaking down barriers. But I think you've presented a really straightforward and strong argument to both politicians and people all over BC. Is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we finish the interview?
I need everybody's help. I need the public's help to be able to actually get the Liberal government and Christy Clark and Michelle Stilwell to back down from this and reverse their decision to claw back bus passes and claw back transportation subsidies. So, like I said earlier, get out there, get active, sign the petition, write your letters to the editor, give me a call, give Michelle Stilwell a call, send her a letter. Get out and get active. And remember, in 2017, May 9th is Election Day. Get out and vote.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Michelle. It was a pleasure to be able to interview you for our show.
Thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard our interview from this morning with Michelle Mangal, the MLA from Nelson Creston, who is the NDP opposition spokesperson for social development. She was speaking to us about the current controversy about the BC subsidized bus pass and that is being taken away. Up next, before we move on to another access and transportation topic, we're going to play a song for you.
All right, time for some more music. Here is Mo Kenny with Sucker.
Hey, I'm a sucker for your face. Clear as a portrait in a frame. I thought I saw you yesterday.
Tune in to
the
Woods Studio is a community music studio that supports Vancouver's local artists. A place to rehearse and record, a place to perform without paying room fees or meeting quotas. Because exploitation isn't avant-garde. On March 12th, come support Jenny Benet on a release of Flowering Head with special guests Walgren and Sam Tudor. The show starts at 7 and is 19+. Facebook The Wood Studio for more information. On Sunday, March 13th, the MEC Race Series is coming to Pacific Spirit Park. They're bringing the Pace Setter, a 5K or 10K race with professional chip timing amidst the extensive trail systems of the park. There's complimentary coffee, tea, and fresh fruit, and a welcoming community atmosphere geared towards inspiring personal bests and living an active and healthy lifestyle. Registration costs $15 and is open now. Head on over to events.mec.ca for all the information and to register.
Hi there, are you tired of listening to the same music day in and day out and want to try something a little different? Well then, how about listening to Asian music? Now, I don't mean it like
Oppan Gangnam Style,
nor like
She bangs, she bangs, oh baby, but she moves, she moves.
I'm talking about a little more like and a little more like and also a little more like and definitely something like So tune in to Asian Wave 101, playing you the best of Chinese and Korean pop, Wednesdays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., only on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three,
four.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
You know, I'm so proud of it, it's almost indecent of me.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Katie, and moving along in our access and transportation topic for today, I am going to cover some content that one of our new members, Nahid, and I looked at regarding intersectionality on this topic. Speaking of intersectionality, it's important to note while we're talking about transporting ourselves all across land in Vancouver and BC, we are currently situated and broadcasting live from the unceded ancestral and traditional territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. And I am grateful for the opportunity to talk about intersectionality as a visitor. So, you may have just heard we had an interview airing from one of the NDP MLAs here in BC, and she was addressing the recent changes in the BC Bus Pass program that has seen some increase in the income for individuals receiving disability assistance, but the Bus Pass program now requires a monthly payment, so that increase in income is being
taken away in some way if you're going to be buying into the bus pass program. And there are a whole bunch of different issues that play into that, and not everybody is going to be impacted in the same way. So some of the topics that we're going to look at are regarding housing, geography, how old you are, and I'm going to cover some of those now. So if somebody has a disability, they might not be experiencing, quote unquote, having a disability in the same way as somebody else that identifies as having a disability. And those people are going to be different than us, who probably, for somebody like me who's able-bodied and I don't struggle with transporting myself in any way, I don't have to think twice about getting from one spot to another. But this change is impacting a lot of people in BC, and not all of them are being impacted in the same way. The Disability Assistance and Bus Pass Program changes will lead to a $77 per month increase in payments for folks with disabilities, but only those who choose not to purchase bus passes will fully enjoy that increase in payment, which isn't hugely significant considering how long the rate has been unchanged and how much more expensive it has become to live in some places in BC, especially speaking as somebody that's in Vancouver right now. So some individuals don't require a bus pass, and others rely on public transit to travel to other locations and lead more normal lives. To be a part of the community, you most likely need to be able to leave your house if you have a house that you're living in. And not everybody might be able to do that if they're needing to make decisions between using some of that $77 to get their bus pass so that they can travel, or having a little bit less debt when it comes to their rent, or being able to pay food to comfortably feed themselves for a month. And I don't think that that's a choice that a lot of us can imagine needing to make. Maybe as students going to school in BC, some of us, in Vancouver specifically, some of us might be able to imagine that. But it's a lot different when your body or your mind might not make it easy for you to travel. So constrained by choices like food, shelter, or travel, it becomes even more difficult to get out of a cycle of poverty if that is a cycle that you find yourself in, because if you're not going to be able to transport yourself, you're not going to be able to engage in the community in the same way. You might not be able to go to a job interview because you wanted to be able to feed yourself for that month. And it just doesn't seem like, even though you're maybe getting $25 extra or $77 per month, that you're really going to be able to bring yourself to a better place. Some statistics that I looked at in another class that I was taking last year from, and you can find these online very easily, the Vancouver Homeless Count from 2015 found that of the total surveyed that identified as being homeless in Vancouver, that 26% of them were receiving disability assistance, which is fairly significant when we're seeing this quote-unquote net gain in disability assistance of $77, but 26% of homeless individuals that were surveyed in Vancouver, that they're receiving that payment, and it's clearly not putting them in a better position. Everyone in the program receives the same amount of disability assistance without differences being considered, such as socioeconomic status, age, or racial ethnicity. And like Michelle, the MLA, who was interviewed earlier today, said, equality is not the same as equity. Equality refers to something that is exactly the same. So if you're aiming for equality, you want everybody to be at the same place, but providing everybody equal support is not going to put everybody in the same place. It's going to provide those that are already at a more advantageous position with more advantages, and those that are at a disadvantaged position, they may be raised up slightly, but there's still going to be that disparity. So equity refers to providing that individualized support or assistance for individuals that might need it more. For example, people who live the farthest from city centers and various spaces around where they live are often disproportionately people of color, people who are experiencing poverty, and individuals with abilities that have led to barriers in accessing amenities and basic services. These individuals need more support and are geographically farther from where they might access that support, but they must sacrifice some of their income in order to access transportation, thus making services more difficult or perhaps impossible to afford. So being at an already significantly disadvantaged position, even relative to some others that are experiencing significant disadvantages, is worsened by trying to make these decisions between basic amenities that a lot of people don't even have to think twice about. Older, low-income individuals with or without disabilities are also impacted by the bus pass program. It is more difficult already as an older person sometimes to access work, social groups, and other basic needs. And if you are low income and the bus pass program is going to increase by hundreds of dollars per year, it's going to have a significant impact. I'm saying significant impact over and over again because it is one. You see a net gain plus X number of dollars per month, but when you consider that it's like, oh, you're being given this very small increase that doesn't connect to inflation whatsoever because it hasn't changed in a decade, and then some of it is being taken away so that you can continue using the service that you had the entire time, which was an annual fee of $45. Okay. A lot of us, I think, feel like $45 per year was a steal because we have to maybe pay $130 per month for a bus pass, or I don't know all of the new Compass Card rules. We're going to talk about the Compass Card a little bit later, but and even as students, we pay a little bit. We have to have a monthly fee in our student fees that goes towards being able to use the U-Pass, and maybe $45 per year seems almost unfairly inexpensive, but when you do not have the same access to basic amenities, and it is more difficult for you to just live your life, accessing spaces, going and being a part of social groups, and there are so many ways. Think about everything that you do in a day, and then imagine it being 50 times more difficult to do all of that, and then on top of that, somebody says, here's some money, but we need to take some away if you want to be able to get to all of those things. Then that's kind of what's happening here. So there are a lot of different factors playing into this, more than just individuals with disabilities are being impacted. There's a spectrum of ability, and some people are going to be experiencing this change in very different ways from other people, and those that are most likely the most disadvantaged are going to be experiencing the worst of it, which isn't improving anything in the end. That was a lot of heavy information, and I could probably go on and continue awkwardly rambling the way that I have been up until now, but I'm going to let your brains digest all of that intersectionality and encourage you to go look into it a little bit more, look into the program, learn about all of the different rallies and things that have been going on around BC. But for now, let's listen to some music and bring ourselves back down a little bit.
All right. Here is Bassa Bulette with Fool.
Told us much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Need to talk? AMS Speakeasy offers free, one-on-one, confidential, drop-in peer support sessions with trained volunteers. Our goal is to lend a listening ear and empower you to continue to strive towards wellness. Our services are available Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. during exam season. Support sessions can be requested at our desk on the main floor of the Nest or by ringing the doorbell outside our private space in room 3121. Learn more by visiting the AMS Speakeasy website. No issue is too big or too small. We're here to listen.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. Tonight's episode has been revolving around the topic about accessibility and transportation. Katie just finished up before that song talking about intersectionality and how all these topics are so interrelated. So next I'm going to talk about a different news headline, but still one that's really, really relevant. If you're a public transit user in Vancouver, you've most likely been aware of the changes to our TransLink system over the last couple years and just over the last couple months. TransLink has been switching over to the Compass Card system, where users need a preloaded card and use it to tap in and out at SkyTrain stations and on buses. This has also meant that fare gates were installed at every SkyTrain station. TransLink kept those gates open as they slowly transitioned to the Compass Card system and finally have announced that all the gates will be closed as of April 8th. This means that the only way to get on the SkyTrain is to have a Compass Card with prepaid fare on it or to purchase a Compass ticket to tap in. There has been glitches and bumps in the road through this process, and TransLink has been addressing these issues as they come up. But there was one major problem that we wanted to talk about, and it was a critical oversight by TransLink, and that was the physical accessibility of the fare gates. Prior to the fare gates being in place, people with limited mobility and wheelchair users simply entered a station with a ticket and boarded the train. The new Compass Card gates installed do include a wider gate meant for wheelchair users, strollers, and people who need easier physical access, so theoretically, the stations are still accessible. So far, these gates have been left open, and people have been able to freely pass through them, with or without tapping a Compass Card. But, as we said before, April 8th is coming up, and as some of those wider gates begin to be left closed, a dilemma has unfolded. These gates are not accessible to everyone who needs to use them. Users realize that although the wider gates left enough width to get through, the accessibility of the scanner when one taps their Compass Card is not accessible for everyone, therefore leaving people without the ability to open the gate and enter a station. Imagine being someone who uses a wheelchair or mobility device and also having limited range of motion in your arms. The inaccessibility of the card scanner means that you cannot physically access the station unless you are accompanied by someone else. This takes away your autonomy and your individual freedom and means you have been discriminated against systematically by a streamlined system that doesn't provide equal access. When this matter was raised with TransLink, their initial proposal for people who needed assistance tapping their card to open gates was for them to call ahead and have a transit personnel show up at the station to open the gate. This really does not make the system any more accessible. It truly makes the whole process probably worse. How is someone expected to know exactly when they'll need to board a SkyTrain? Are they expected to wait if a TransLink assistant isn't available? How are they supposed to contact someone again when they need to leave a SkyTrain station? And even more ironically, if a card tapper isn't accessible to someone with limited mobility, we can't assume that using a phone is an accessible option either. This quote-unquote solution meant that people who the fare gates were inaccessible to would become more dependent on other people and would lose more of their independence and their freedom. Now, people gawked at TransLink's response and found it discriminatory, inefficient, counterproductive, and honestly just downright stupid. But this time TransLink has listened, we hope, and did declare that this is not a factor solution, and they say they have committed to solving this problem in a real way to ensure accessibility for everyone. Now, before I address the fact that they just released another statement this morning, we're going to talk to DP about her personal experiences so she can give us insight from her perspective.
Honestly, I think it's too complicated. It is more work for my support worker to find the access or get help to open the fare gates. I mean, there have been some reports, but not accurate just yet, that people with mobility issues will have to call in advance to request a TransLink staff or security to open the fare gates for them. But my question would be, what if a person with a disability can't use a phone to call? Never mind use the tap system. What are they supposed to do? For me, it takes away my right as a human being. Or say if you have an access to a phone, how can you be sure that someone will be there to assist you? So last Wednesday, Global News did a report on this issue where they spoke to a person who uses an electric wheelchair to get around the community. And she explained it took her 10 minutes to get the help she needed. But then, what if it is cold? Are you expected to wait? This is just another added barrier for people with disabilities that they have to overcome. Also, in my opinion, the BC government is contradicting their message. For example, from a personal perspective, they have cut back on my personal support hours, which limits my ability to be out in the community as well as my opportunities to work. But with the new bus system, I need to ask more support from my community support worker, in which they are doing so much for me with less time. So I just rather use my accessible wheelchair instead of transit buses.
Thanks so much for that, DP. It's really nice to have a personal story. So, you know, we can talk about these types of things from a theoretical standpoint, but we're really trying to show on this show and in our collective is that these are real experiences by real people, and this isn't something to be taken lightly. This whole topic that we've talked about today is definitely not something that we're going to stop talking about. It's going to stay in the news for a while. We know it's going to always be a topic of contention, but we're always going to be advocating for people of all abilities for fair access to transportation. It's just something that can't be ignored. So our show is just about done for tonight. I want to thank you again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. You can tune in next week on Thursday at 5 p.m. to listen to another episode of All Access Pass. We'd also like to hear what you have to say about transportation and accessibility. So you can email us at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca or check out our Facebook page, All Access Pass. To end off our show, I think we're going to send it to another song. Spencer, do you want to take that over?
Here is Exactly Nowhere by Gina Perla.
Heart is where the home is. I can't find mine. Think I left it in the cushions of your couch, and everything is out, yeah, everything hurts. I can't breathe and I'm getting worse, 'cause I miss you, I miss New York, I miss me, I'm a missing person.
Access Pass. Just before we wrap up the show, we wanted to mention that you may or may not have noticed, but it was International Women's Day on Tuesday, and in honor of that, we have been playing all feminine content in our music today to celebrate that, to celebrate the local and alternative female artists and producers that are in our midst, and we encourage you to check them out on the podcast. You can find their songs and the bands that they might be working with online. And now we are going to be returning to what was playing just before we came on air, which will be a series of 3-minute theses. Thank you for listening and have a good night. Thank you very much to Emma.